The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello to everyone tuning in. We're a Boston Celtics fan site that covers everything Celtics, from the latest trade rumor to that other trade rumor to the Nets pick and how exactly Danny Ainge got his free Chipotle for Life card. Honestly, no one really knows. The pod covers all the same topics our site does, but a little more freely and from a weekly point of view. The best part of it all is that we're talking about it from a fan's perspective. We'll cover last week's games and major storylines, as well as a look into the week ahead. We'll change things up as the show evolves, so let us know what you want to hear if something comes to mind. I'm Topher Lane, here with Mark Allison. Mark, how's it going?
What's up, buddy? Good.
How's your week been?
Pretty solid. We've, it's been an up and down week for the Celtics.
All over the place. That has caused the Celtics to drop from the 2 seed. Here we were this entire time talking about, can the Cs catch the Cavs for the 1? And then we find ourselves at 3, which I don't think anybody really saw coming.
Meanwhile, right, Washington's just been plugging along since like the beginning of January. They've been on quite a run.
Yeah, they've been playing out of their minds. And they're playing like historic basketball too. I saw a stat that said the Wizards are the first team ever to be 15 games over 500 after starting the season like 2-8.
Wow. Yeah, because that's right. They started the season awful. I mean, even worse than we did. I mean, we had a rough start, but we were more of a 500 team. But
yeah, we were kind of sticking around, going like 1-1 every couple of games.
Right.
The Wizards were really, they couldn't find a good rotation to work with. Their bench was awful, and they've kind of bolstered their bench with Bogdanovich at the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
So the Wizards, do you think we can catch up to them? Do you think this is something that maybe we should be worried about, that we're not even going to take the 2 seed, let alone the 1?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's something to worry about, but I mean, if you look at the schedules coming up, we do have an advantage when it comes to, you know, what we're looking at. Even take the teams out of it, we've got 11 games at home to finish out the season and 5 on the road, and they have like almost the exact opposite with 6 at home and 11 on the road. And but even beyond that, if you look at some of the games that they have to play, they've got a pretty tough schedule coming up. They've got, let's see, they start with Minnesota. Who else do they have left in here? I mean, we play each other next Monday. That's going to be a huge game, and that's going to be a big factor, obviously. But they've got some tough back-to-backs, too. They've got Chicago and Charlotte this weekend, Brooklyn followed by Cleveland the following weekend, Clippers and Lakers back-to-back. They still play Utah again. They still play Golden State. A couple of games with Miami in there. So, I mean, they've got a pretty tough schedule, whereas if you look at ours, I mean, we're talking about where are we here? I mean, you know, it's we've got Washington. We got another matchup with Cleveland. Chicago today, a couple. Minnesota. Minnesota's a solid. But, I mean, most of these games we're talking about, we got, you know, Philly, Phoenix, Milwaukee, Orlando, Brooklyn, New York Knicks. I mean, I think in that regard, we have the advantage, you know, in terms of what we're looking at. Plus, we got a lot of games at home. But even still, though, I think it's more important that we just, like, they're playing pretty good basketball going into the playoffs.
Do you think they're going to drop off at all?
You talking about the Wizards?
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't look like it. I mean, yeah. We'll see. Maybe a if they had a few string of tough losses or something. But I mean, they've got a really good team. They were supposed to be a really good team last year, and that, you know, last year they kind of flunked out, but it looks like they're back now.
Definitely want to touch on, you kept saying back to backs. I heard that they have 18 games in the month of March, and a significant portion of those are on the road. So they're going all over the U.S. Playing these games, and it's over the course of like 30 days playing 18 games. They've got so many back to backs. They're going to go into April just completely drained.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder how much, like you saw, like how much will they rest guys? You know, how much will the Celtics rest guys? You know, how important is that second seed to the two teams? You know, or the first seed rather. I mean, either one of these teams could overtake Cleveland with Love out, and they're going to be opting to rest LeBron here and there, and you know, because they don't really need the home court advantage as much as maybe we or the Wizards do. You know, so maybe that's not as important to them. And how important is it to the other teams? I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, you look at even out west with Golden State and, you know, San Antonio resting. I mean, what, obviously they want the one seed, but I mean, do they really care when they're both going into a game against each other and sitting all their stars?
Well, and we won't go too far into this, but in the West, I feel like if the Warriors fall to the two, that could jeopardize their chance to make it to the finals, because then they have to go through Houston.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah,
probably
right.
The second round.
Right. And
I think Houston is an awful matchup for them, especially if KD is coming back from the injury, as he's kind of predicted to. So I don't think they'll have a problem first round. I don't think, regardless of where they fall seed wise, they'll have an issue first round. But as far as the second round goes, I think they can handle the Clippers or the Grizzlies much better than they can handle a team like the Rockets. And then the Spurs series will just be, that'll be a boxing match.
Yeah.
Conference finals.
Mm-hmm.
But my question with the Wizards is, how important is that rest? Because, you know, we've talked about it. They don't have a great second unit. So they can't rely too much on their bench. If they rest their starters, you would like to think that it will really hurt them in whatever game they're playing. So my question is, how valuable is rest to this Wizards team, especially going to this like really grueling March and kind of end to the season where they're really pushing for the playoffs, pushing for a higher seed, whether they take the one, the two, or the three. I think they're definitely going to fall top three for sure, because they just seem to have found the pieces, and they've bolstered their bench as well as they could. And so I think they're a scary team for sure, something that we really didn't think about heading into really 2017. And since it turned to 2017, they've been just a nasty team.
Yeah, I mean, now here's something interesting. So the Wizards are a dead even 15-15 on the road, right? This is a 41-24 team. So obviously, you know, that they're a 500 team on the road. But with that said, just a week ago, or just over a week ago, it was a week ago, it was March 5th, they were 11-5. They won their last four road games in a row, their last four games this week. I mean, they've won five games in a row, but that's – so I don't know that we can say that they're a 500 – like, they're obviously playing better now on the road than they were earlier this season.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how much the two teams value it, because you figure if they do land the 2 and 3 seeds, it seems like Toronto's kind of, you know, dropping off a little. Like there's a little space now between what are they back? They're 3 games back from the Celtics.
Yeah, well, that Kyle Lowry injury really hurt.
Yeah, them. I mean that's obviously the factor there. But so if, you know, being 3 games back, I mean they're not out of it certainly, but you know, it's more likely that they don't catch up. So if we have. So basically, we'd be playing the Wizards in round two, if both teams made it to round two, obviously. Either way, it's just whether or not which team has home court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. In terms of, I mean, let's talk about injuries, all right? Because there are just so many injuries to stars, and just this kind of concern with rest. We saw it against the Spurs and the Warriors, or not against, but in that matchup, I asked what I should do last night, and you were saying, well, you could watch the reserves of the Warriors. Spurs play. And I walked through the starting lineup with my friend, and we recognized like three names. Like, I just did not know who was playing the team.
Right, because they sat, this is last night, they sat Green, Curry, Klay Thompson, and...
Actually, I think those are the three. And Iguodala also.
Iguodala, that's right. I knew there was a fourth one. Yep. Yeah. So essentially, they're starters. Yep.
Yep. And then meanwhile, Kawhi Leonard was out with a concussion. LaMarcus Aldridge has arrhythmia.
Yeah. What? I only saw this briefly, but what is it? What? I know it's a heart condition, but is this like similar to what Chris Bosh had with like the blood clots and stuff?
It's my understanding of it. I actually dealt with it earlier this year. My dad had arrhythmia. It's basically just your heart just starts beating really quickly.
Okay, all right.
You can't really control it. So what they did, they try and get it to slow down, and then if they can't, then they just like kind of give you like a couple shocks to the chest, and then it just corrects it.
Oh, to try and to set it back into. All right. Yeah. And so is he supposed to miss significant time here? Or?
Well, so he's slated as he's out indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
But once they get it figured out, they'll probably give him like a week to kind of make sure that it's stable, and then I would
I mean they're gonna be resting guys anyway, so I don't think that they're gonna I don't think that they're gonna go overboard and try to bring him back
exactly. I think worst case scenario back by April,
right?
Is this a blessing in disguise for the Spurs, because it gives them the ability to rest Aldridge gear up for kind of the push for whether it's the one seed or whatever they're trying to do come the end of the season. Injuries. Kevin Durant. We just talked about LaMarcus Aldridge. Kawhi Leonard is out with a concussion. Is J.R. Smith back now officially?
I think he came back on Friday or Thursday.
Yeah, and then Bogut, like 60 seconds into his Cavs career, goes down with that injury.
You know, it is so funny because not that it's funny. I mean, not that it happened to him, but I was arguing with a lot of people about how Bogut, I thought he would be a great fit here, and everyone kept bringing up, he's always injured, well, why don't, it's still worth a shot, blah, 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 and then he goes in, 60 seconds in the game, I said, everybody wins, I was wrong.
Well, Kevin Love's still sidelined, and we're hearing that Larry Sanders might be in the midst of agreeing to a deal with the Cavs.
Yep.
And we've been, just in like our Google chat, we've been talking about Larry Sanders because I think we're all intrigued by the concept of Larry Sanders.
Right.
But I don't know if anybody actually wants to gamble on him.
I just don't think that I can't see him being a factor. The guy hasn't played in 2 years, not this year anyways. Like, is that guy really going to be playing big minutes in the playoffs for anybody? I mean, maybe like, 10, 15 minutes and he comes in and he's, a big beast inside, but I just can't imagine him just coming in and playing well. Like I can't see him having a big role on, but I guess it's possible, but I don't, that's why I didn't think that the Celtics were going to get him, because first of all, he's not a great fit for our offense. I mean, he can only score within 5 feet of the basket, and he just hasn't played in 2 years. I mean, the word was after he came in to work out with us back in January that he didn't look good, whatever. He's been, it just seems like, too, he's been trying to promote himself this whole time, with his little cryptic tweets and all this other stuff, and like, head into here, taking pictures in this jersey. It's almost like he's trying to drum up the interest in himself, to make some interest in him, even though it probably wasn't as much as he thought.
And I can't tell if he's doing a good job.
Yeah, right.
It feels like he's maybe getting teams to be kind of interested in him,
Yeah, right.
I don't know what's going on. He's pushing all this stuff. Like, you sent me a tweet that he had, a Celtics shirt, Boston basketball shirt on.
It was a Snapchat or something, yeah.
Yeah, so, there's just all this stuff. And it's like, what's he trying to do?
He did that in the middle of last week. And then... was that from his first workout, or did he come back and work out again? I mean, that's pretty wild.
Or Danny Ainge just gonna be like, he does look good in that. Yeah, maybe I should sign him.
Maybe I should, right.
So, left in the free agent field, you've got Omar Caspi, who was waived by the Pelicans after he was traded from the Kings in the Boogie deal. Justin is a huge fan of Omar Caspi. Jared Sellinger is still on the on the wire if we want to grab him again. But that seems like you got Celtics fans who are like, yeah, bring back Sally. You got Celtics fans who are like, no, I refuse to take Sellinger back on the squad. Like we said so much shit about him.
I know.
I'm not putting him back on here.
It's like he's not as bad as the rap like he gets. Like, you know, he was a good player for a while. Yes, he was, you know, not in shape and whatnot. But it's like every time, you know, he was a good rebounder, but every time I think of Jared Sullinger now, I go back to like last playoffs and just all I think about is him launching up three pointers and me screaming.
Yeah. That,
and them just clanging. I remember being at the Garden for, I think it was game four. We actually won that game. And I remember every time he took a shot, everybody in the audience like booed before he even like released the ball because no one wanted him to shoot.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But that's, I mean, I guess, I think that's the play at the end of his tenure there was the reason why everybody remembers him so poorly, you know?
I see, my memories of him right now are more recent. I mean, I remember that and I just kind of pushed it out of my memory. But when he's with the Raptors, I have like this like Jay Crowder, kind of Jay Crowder after the Gordon Hayward thing happened, where I'm just like offended by the fact that he was cheering so hard for DeMar DeRozan when he was wrecking us in the fourth quarter.
Come on,
Jared. Like, yeah. he was like wearing like a ridiculous like suit and stuff, and he was just cheering so hard for the Raptors. I was like, this is your old team. This is the team that drafted you. He spent like 4 years here. Come on.
You wouldn't even be here.
Oh, yeah. Tiny bit of respect. Right? But no, he was, that hurt. I feel like Jay Crowder after the Gordon Hayward incident. I feel like I should start tweeting angrily about Jared. I missed my window.
Yep.
But yeah, so it was a rough week for the Celtics. Finished 1-3.
2-3. 2-3, right?
No, 1-3. It was the Suns where it was lost, then back-to-back against the Clippers where we lost again after killing it.
I was thinking the game before. Yeah, yeah.
I'm win against the Warriors, which is not the one that I think anyone thought we were going to win.
Yeah.
Lose again to the Denver Nuggets. Isaiah Thomas, after the Suns game, because that and Celtics fans probably have been pushing this out of their memory of we lost – as the Suns scored 5 points in 4 seconds to win it at the buzzer. And on the inbound, after they tie it, after, is it Brandon Knight who had just the insane under the basket?
The drive there? One, the like up and under? I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, so like they do that. Then on the inbound, Crowder, I guess, hesitates and then tosses it in. IT bobbles it. It goes right to the Brandon Ulis, I want to say.
It was Ulis that hit the three because it's the same guy that IT and him did a jump ball earlier in the game.
Yeah.
That the two smallest guys ever to do a jump ball against each other, the 5'9 guys. But yeah, and it was Ulis that hit the three at the end.
Yeah, so after that, IT blames Jay. And you and I were kind of you and I were on Jay's side. It seemed like it was kind of ridiculous that Isaiah
there was really no point for him to say that, you know? I mean, like, He said, I don't know what he was, I forget exactly how he said it, but he said, I don't really know what Jay was thinking. It was like he hesitated and then threw it, you know, and I mean, even if it was Jay's fault, I mean, why would you even say that? I don't know. Yeah. I can't imagine doing that, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, because I mean, when I think of the Celtics squad, I think of team chemistry. I think of this team as just getting along so well, and I just think of like, I can't remember the last time that there was like chemistry issues, even through like all these trades and all this other stuff, like all the trade chatter.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone's been composed and everyone's been the same team. They've all been working together no matter what, through the hard times, through the good.
Yeah. And maybe that's just us making a bigger deal out of something that's not really a big deal. I mean, it just seemed funny for him to say, you know, but maybe they're close enough that like Jay doesn't really care, you know, like whatever.
Yeah, well, then he continued it. He continued kind of this post-game chatter after the Clippers game the following night.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, leading by a wide margin at halftime over a really good squad of the Clippers. And then after, IT says like, oh, well, Brad Stevens made some interesting choices. You know, I can't believe that he made those lineup choices and like stuff like that. He started criticizing Brad.
Right. It's just, I don't think the criticism is the problem. It's just doing it in the front of the media. Like, that's, you know, like, what's the point of doing that? Like, if you didn't like his lineups, why don't you just tell Brad, what were you doing, you know?
Yeah. And
because I agreed with him. I mean, those lineups were, you know, bananas, but still. I don't know. Maybe it's just a case of just, you know, learning to be a better leader or something. But that was kind of, yeah, definitely off-putting.
Well, it's the side of Isaiah that I feel like we just haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like he's always been like a part of this team. And to me, it seems like he's like adopted the role of being a leader, which I'm glad that he has.
Yeah, because...
But he's doing so where I feel like he's almost putting himself above other players.
Right. Yeah, I think you might be right there.
And that, I mean, to me, that's... It's not a huge issue, but right. It's something that I feel like hurts the chemistry of the team, which is something that's really important to me as a fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's right. Like you said, that's what we've known from these Brad Stevens teams. They've always overachieved every year, and part of the reason for that is because they're a close knit group and they play together well. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, it seemed like it was dismissed well. It was handled well by everybody. Doesn't seem like there were any issues. Albeit it was a rough week. You know. I mean. Tough road trip, tough way to lose against the Suns, and then to lose that game really in just the second half against the Clippers. You know, we take the win against the Warriors, it was a great win, but then we go and lose to another bad team in the Nuggets. So it's just a rough week, and I'm hoping that heading back home will, you know, bring some, apart the rest between this road trip and to be back home from the West Coast road trip, but I'm hoping that will kind of help everybody kind of calm down, catch their breath, and then kind of regroup before kind of the last leg of the season.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, speaking of this too, and speaking of the road trip and everything, I thought this was funny. I saw this the other day, and Warriors fans, it was a blog on like a Warriors, you know, like Warriors Life, say, whatever. It was, you know what I mean? Similar to our blog. And so the name of the title of the article was "The Anatomy of a Scheduled Loss." And the whole article was talking about how that game against the Celtics was essentially a scheduled loss on their calendar for like they were going to lose that game, like because of all the road and on the road. Meanwhile, they're at home and we're on the, you know, on a 5-game road trip. And they're talking about that being a scheduled loss for the Warriors. And I guess they have had a pretty murderous stretch, whatever. But can you imagine like Larry Bird or Michael Jordan, someone telling them that there's a scheduled loss on your, you know, coming up next week, you guys have a scheduled loss, they'd probably score 60 points. Yeah. I mean, that is like, I couldn't, and then all I could think, and then on the comments, so I'm saying, wow, this guy's going to get murdered in the comments down here. Because if one of us wrote that on our blog, we would get torn apart. And then I go down there and it's like, great article. So, da, da, da. And I was like, is this real life? Like, what is this? Oh my God. I just thought that was crazy. I almost wrote a blog post on it, but I don't know. I should have probably.
Response post.
Yeah. Like, but what the hell? Like who? Even if you did have a murderous stretch, who calls like a scheduled loss? That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Especially for a team. I looked at their schedule and I mean, they lost the, got blown out by the Spurs last night. Granted, they rested four of their five starters, and their only starter that was still in the lineup was Zaza Pachulia, so not the best player.
Zaza.
not your go-to guy. but yeah, they. I was amazed to see they already have 14 losses, which I mean that sounds like nothing, but like you know they had nine all,
right?
And they improved their lineup. You know,
yeah, with Durant,
and they had already had nine, I believe, when KD was sidelined, maybe eight, but even then, like they're on the track of doubling their losses with what a lot of people would say is an upgraded team.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So I don't know if that's like an indication of anything, because I remember back like at the end of free agency, or really basically 4th of July when Durant made that decision, everyone said it'd be a formality of a season to get to another rematch of the Warriors and the Cavs in the finals. And right now, there's not that much certainty for me. Like, I feel like the Warriors could totally get knocked out by the Spurs, the Rockets.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Clippers actually.
The full strength Clippers team is pretty good. I mean, they're Chris Paul is no joke, you know?
Yeah. And I'm not really worried about, if I were a Warriors fan, I wouldn't really be worried about the Thunder or
Right. That's kind of a, you know, you take what you get from Westbrook and then just try to stop everybody else, right?
Yeah. So I kind of wonder, you know, how this team looks coming finals, the Warriors, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And then also on the East, like, I think the Cavs, who are a team, I know they step up in the playoffs, and it's not fair to measure, you know, how they've been playing during the regular season, especially with the injuries that they've had. Mm-hmm. But, like, I feel like they're underperforming with the lineup that they have, with the roster that they have.
Yeah.
And especially the paycheck that they have, you know?
I mean, yeah, right. You know, they have, like, twice our roster. I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of money they spend.
Yeah.
But our Celtics teams did it when we were contending, too. So. Yeah.
So, kind of big news, but it's not something that's out of the ordinary. Markelle Fultz from Washington declares for the draft. I was kind of talking about it last night with Justin regarding whether I want him on the team. Isaiah said that he thinks he's a good fit. He's kind of the presumed number one pick alongside Lonzo Ball.
Mm-hmm.
And Isaiah said he'd like to play with Markelle Fultz. He thinks he'd somehow fit on the team, even though he's a point guard. What are your thoughts on, you know, I mean, obviously the Nets pick is a lock for top three pretty much.
Right.
It's got the best chances right now of being number one. If we fall number one, do you want Markelle Fultz or do you want to look some other direction?
I want Fultz. If we get the first pick, I want Fultz and I want to keep the pick. I think Isaiah's talking about he can fit together, and I think he's right because he could potentially, let's say, you know, whatever, let's say he was in the starting lineup, like, eventually, him and Isaiah, Isaiah could be, essentially be the point guard. Fultz could be the shooting guard because he's 6'5". So on the defensive end, he can, you know, he can guard some of these, you know, bigger guards. And it wouldn't matter who brought the ball up, whatever. But, I mean, obviously the issue is we have too many guards on the roster and they would have to be, you know, some kind of move in the future. But I think if you drafted Fultz, you can play him off the bench, ease him in the same way we did with Jaylen Brown this year. And then you have decisions to make next year, you know, when you get to, you know, we've got Bradley, we've got Smart, we've got Isaiah, we've got to, you know, Avery and Isaiah are both going to be up next year. So it would give you a year to at least figure out what you're doing, you know. Maybe you make a big move at the trade deadline and they'll mold somebody, you know. But I think you take him because he's the best player regardless of the fit, you know.
Teams are saying that he is like a possible future NBA MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a scout, so but from what I see, this kid looks like stellar, you know. And I don't care that he's on a crappy team and they went 9-22, you know.
Yeah, that's where I have my issues.
Yeah, no, I understand that, you know. But I mean, look at but Ben Simmons wasn't on a good team last year, you know.
We haven't seen Ben Simmons play yet, though.
No, but I'm saying in college, though.
I know, and that's what I'm saying is, like, we...
Oh, right, the jury's out, obviously, and if he's any good, right.
Yeah, and, like, my concern, and I was talking to you guys about it last night, I'm not sure if you saw what I was saying, but, like, we, with, like, guys like Kemba Walker, you know, I saw him in the Big East tournament, and I knew he was going to win the championship,
mm-hmm.
and I knew he was going to be a good player in the NBA. I don't think he's, like, an MVP candidate.
Right.
But, you know, I knew he was going to be a great player.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Anthony Davis. And you can find lists. Steph Curry, for instance, led a much worse Davidson team.
Yes, you're right.
To the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maximized the he's like a Brad Stevens, but on the court. You know, he maximized every bit from his teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And Markelle Fultz, who's like the presumed number one pick, can't win more than 9 games. Like, he was putting up the stats, but he wasn't bringing the best out of his teammates. And that's not a that's not a horrible Huskies team. You know, I don't think that the roster around him is that awful that he shouldn't be able to win enough to, like,
yeah,
at least be on the bubble or something, or like anything. Like, if he wants to, he could probably carry that team, but I don't know if he was just trying to stuff the stat column and just wasn't playing as a teammate. I didn't get to watch enough games to, like, really decide, you know, why they were losing as much as they were, but I mean, he was putting up these insane stats. No one else on the team was. And so that's an issue for me. And Ben Simmons, because I think Ben Simmons was the first player to get drafted first overall who didn't make it to the NCAAs.
Mm-hmm.
I believe. And so we have yet to see him play in the NBA.
Right.
And see kind of what his career spans out into. But I feel like he and Markelle Fultz are kind of the same idea of like, how much can they actually maximize the talent around them? And is it just a fluke in that, you know, he just couldn't do it with this Washington team mm-hmm. and then we find in the NBA? Or is this something that will...
Yeah, is it? Yeah, right. Yeah, it's good. Definitely going to be interesting to see for sure. I mean, it's, you know, it's... I you know the thing that gets me too about Fultz? Why Washington? What was the... Why did he go to Washington? Do you know?
No.
He's from Maryland. So it's like, you know, it's not like he's from Washington State or something. But I don't know. I thought that was strange.
I mean, in spite of having an awful season, it's going to work out for him. He's going to be top three regardless.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. For sure. If the Lakers get that first pick, it's almost a lock they're going to take Lonzo Ball just because he's the flashy point guard. Yep. And Magic Johnson will certainly take him.
Yeah, and so it's... Maybe he wanted to have these opportunities to do whatever he wanted to do. Maybe he wanted to be on like the 76ers of the NCAAs
mm-hmm.
and be able to put up whatever stats he wanted.
Yeah, pile up some numbers. Yeah, I mean, possibly. It just, when you have a guy like this who is, and I don't know if he was like the number one recruit coming out of high school, but.
No, I don't think so.
But even if he wasn't, you would have to think that some of these big teams were interested in him. I mean, you know, like the Dukes and the North Carolinas.
Yeah.
But.
It's possible. I just, to me, I feel like I need a guy who's on a championship team,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like you just need to find a guy who
a winner, essentially. Like, yeah. I mean, right. It wills games to wins. Right. Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, it's a good argument for sure. I mean, and we'll find out, you know, sooner or later.
Yeah. And obviously where we fall in the lottery will change what our conversations on this are, if we have an option to choose between people, if we fall at like three, or if we even fall out of the top three, you know, we'll be maybe talking about guys like Josh Jackson or some other group of, maybe even a different position type of player. So that can change anytime between the next month and a half. So
mm-hmm.
Other minor storylines, Dirk, best German player ever.
30K club.
Joins the 30K club. I think I've just been kind of expecting this for a long time because he's just always been just this
machine.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Now he's developed his very own style of play. And yeah, he's a great player. I'm happy for him. Kind of happy that he's probably going to finish his career with the Mavs. It sucks that the Mavs are a rough team. You know, I wish mm-hmm. that the Mavs were a better team, and I feel like roster wise they should be, but, I don't think he's going to see another playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, I hopefully he sticks around for another year, but, and they can actually put some guys around him. But, I mean, yeah, it's kind of sad to see. I guess I always, like, Dirk Nowitzki's, like, with the Mavs reminds me of Paul Pierce with the Celtics. And, you know, had we hung on to Paul, we probably would have ended up in this same kind of situation where he would have been on a middling team, you know, at the end of his career. But I feel like the Mavs fans appreciate Dirk the same way that we appreciate Paul. And then they came in the same draft. And like they both won their team a title. You know, they were arguably, well, Dirk was definitely the best player on his team. And Paul was, you know, either him or Kevin, either way, he was finals MVP, led his team to a title. But both of them had good teams where they should have won more than one too, you know? Like it's almost like they both kind of came up short. But I don't know. The way that they appreciate Dirk, I feel, is the same way that the Celtics fans appreciate Paul.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, anything else you want to hit on in terms of like storylines?
One other thing from the, not to keep bringing up the Golden State game, but so, all right, you remember the three-pointer, Steph Curry buried the three-pointer at the end of the third quarter and, you know, was pointing and going crazy, trash-talking Jaylen.
He started like, I don't even know what he was doing to Jaylen.
Yeah, like, and so, you know, I mean, whatever. He had the big shot, you know, so it's, you know, obvious, you know, whatever. You didn't score again the rest of the game, but anyways. But it seemed kind of out of place for him. I mean, Curry's a showboater sometimes, but I, you know, you don't really see him taunt somebody, especially like a rookie like that. It was kind of weird, right? Mm-hmm. And then after the game, Jaylen's saying that he didn't even say anything to him, right? So I'm thinking to myself, why the hell, you know, so why would he be doing that? He was doing that little hand motion, like he shut him up, you know, like you've been talking, whatever. So I went and looked back, right? I was like, well, we've only played them once this year. They blew us out back in Boston. So I went to go look into that. And I think I figured out why Steph Curry was targeting Jaylen Brown. In that game, they blew us out. And in the middle of the third quarter, they went on like a 20-something to four run. And Stevens took out all the starters, and Jaylen and a bunch of the other bench guys played out the rest of the game. And while they're hitting all these shots and everything, the Warriors were going like crazy with these crazy, especially like Zaza was doing this ridiculous dance after he hit like a wide open jump shot, and they're up like 26. And that was on our home floor, whatever. After the game, Jaylen played pretty well. It was one of his first, like, you know, he's played extended minutes. I think he played like 20 or 25 minutes in that game. And he played well. And so reporters were talking to him after the game. And he was talking about how disrespectful it was of the Warriors to act that way when they were up so many points and all this. And I think that is where Steph Curry's, antics. I think that's where that came from anyways.
Have you checked to see if Steph is following Jaylen on Twitter?
I didn't. That's a good idea. Wow, I didn't even think of that. But you know what's funny? Like, I couldn't find anything anywhere of any reporter asking Steph Curry why he did that. I just thought that was bananas. Like, why wouldn't you ask him about that? Especially since he didn't score another point after that. Don't you think that was kind of a big moment? Like,
I think the Celtics reporters were just too focused on
the big win. Right. It just kind of got lost in the shuffle in terms of like, no, but I think
Warriors reporters were just like, no, we don't want to touch this game. You know, we just want to,
go on to
the next one.
And nobody even asked Jaylen about it. They asked Isaiah about it. And Isaiah's comments were, well, they don't do that when Avery's guarding them. You know, like, it was funny. But, you know, no one really dug around to find out why he was doing that, even though everybody had something to say about it the next day. I don't know. I thought that was crazy.
Yeah, and the thing is, I thought that was really good defense by Jaylen to, like, stick with him that long. And then, he had, like, the pump Jaylen.
Yeah, he got him on that last pump. And you know, it was a tough shot. I mean, big shot. I mean, you know. And it put them up. They were down one. They would have been down one going into the fourth. Instead, they were up two, and riding some momentum. But then we put the ratcheted the chains on them. They got locked up.
Yeah. Well, let's hit the recap, right? So we talked about a little bit earlier, 1-3 week. And we touched on the Phoenix game, which is how we lost that.
Mm-hmm.
That was a tough game. And I was watching it, and it just looked like we were flat. It looked like we were just drained. And this was the second game of the West Coast road trip. We started in L.A. against the
Lakers game, right?
Question.
Yep.
Just blew them out. And I was talking to Justin about it. And I was like, well, I think we're going to ride that momentum, or we're just going to wreck the Suns. But we just looked flat. It wasn't that we looked like we weren't trying. It just looked like we were just drained or something. I don't even know what the reason was. Horford and Bradley are both out with their own injury, but
obviously that hurts.
It was the weirdest game, and it was the strangest thing to watch.
I didn't watch that whole game, but I remember I saw the fourth quarter, but I didn't see the whole game. I think we were down what, like 10 or 15 at one point in like the beginning of the second half or something like that.
Third quarter, yeah.
Because I remember you guys were going back and forth talking about the game. And then when I finally got home and I put it on and I saw the end of it, I saw the meltdown there. But we were playing well in the fourth quarter enough to take we were up by like 6 or 7 at one point. And then that total – the thing that got me about the end of that game wasn't even – I get that play happened and that was crappy and it shouldn't have happened. They weren't making free throws. But there was like 3 plays in a row where the Suns just drove to the basket and nobody stopped them. And the last play, he made that ridiculous, Brandon Knight made that ridiculous, underneath move there. But the 2 drives before that, it was like they played like Matador defense and let him drive to the hoop because they didn't want him to shoot a 3. I couldn't understand what the thinking was there.
Yeah, I think Brad Stevens it was Eric Bledsoe.
Oh, that's right. Bledsoe. Yeah.
I don't even know what Brandon Knight is doing anymore.
Yeah.
I think Stevens touched on it. He's like, I mean, we wanted to let them have a 2, but we didn't want to give it up that quick, It was literally like they inbounded it and they
I do remember him saying that after the game.
It's not even and the phrase like cut through the defense like a hot knife through butter. Mm-hmm. Like there was no butter. That he just was like,
yeah, he just
threw nothing.
Right.
He literally had a walk up layup.
And you could tell that that was like part of the plan. And maybe they didn't do exactly what Brad wanted them to do, you know, which was he wanted them to score. He wanted them to be shooting from inside, not taking threes, which I get. But at the same time, it seems like a little miscommunication when guys are like standing there and a guy's just driving right up the lane. And there's nobody comes over. Like he just laid the ball right up. It was crazy.
Yeah, that first time was fine. Whatever. You know, we were still up.
Right.
Like three or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think, or maybe two. I don't remember exactly, but you know, that was fine. Whatever. We get fouled. We go 1-1 at the line, and then they tie it up with that crazy layup by Bledsoe.
Mm-hmm.
And then the weird inbound, Euless gets the ball, heaves up the three, buzzer, wins it.
Yeah.
Crowd goes crazy. Bench goes crazy. Criticism from IT to Jay Crowder. It's just like, frustrated. I was just such an upsetting way to lose a game.
It was about as upsetting as it could have been, right?
You were a bad team. Like, it'd be fine if it was like...
Yeah, it wasn't the Warriors. It wasn't Seth Curry that buried that three. Like, oh, man.
Yeah, it was Tyler Euless.
Yeah.
This guy that, like, you
rookie, 5'9".
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess it's good to see an underdog, but, like, come
on. Sure.
Not when it's, like, an underdog on an underdog. Like, it's just, no.
Mm-hmm.
So, that hurt. A lot. And then these West Coast road trips are tough. That was at least like an early Sunday game, so that was easy to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But then we go back to LA Clippers, and I fell asleep. Like I put it on, I think, and then I turned it off at halftime because I was like, all right, cool, we're doing well enough, I shouldn't have any issues. I woke up and I saw we lost by 14. I was like, how did this happen?
it was pretty bad.
Okay, so I decided not to rewatch that. Could you kind of walk me through what happened with like the second half?
Well, so we were, I want to say, halftime we were, I think we were up by a few, if I remember correctly. But I'm trying to think of when we had the biggest lead. Was it midway through the third, maybe?
I think so.
Well, what happened was, so they had like their big starting lineup in there with Blake and DeAndre, and they just started mashing us, you know? And then that's when we went with like that small ball lineup. We had a lineup of like Rozier, Jordan Mickey. It was a strange lineup. Mickey was the biggest guy we had on the floor, and we were just getting pummeled. And that like they went on like a 10-0 run. DeAndre Jordan had like three dunks. It was just crazy, and they were just getting mauled. And then when they finally went back to like a regular lineup, I think we were down like maybe 6 or 7, and then they just continued to roll. You know, they're at home, they rode all that all the way through the fourth. It was just, and it just got worse and worse.
Yeah,
just, they were scoring, every basket was like a dunk. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, and like Jamal Crawford also.
Oh, and it was, that's how the run started. That's right. It was Jamal Crawford hitting. He hit like, I think he went 5 of 6 from three or something like that.
Yeah, and he off three straight.
Yeah, bang, bang. That was how he closed out the third quarter. Then the big guys came in. That's what it was. They took the lead behind Crawford, but they extended it when the big guys came in. But
yeah. And he took
some ridiculous shots, and like he took one of those like heat check threes, like like one of those Seth Curry 10 feet behind the 3-point line, and it still went.
Yeah, so I think that's why maybe Brad switched to that like small lineup, was to try and defend against the three, and then they realized that they could just
they had mismatches
right.
Mm-hmm.
in the center and stuff. So yeah, that was
It's amazing that Jamal Crawford can still do that. I mean,
yeah, he's like, what, like 36, 37?
Total microwave off the bench, like just can come in and change a game with some shots, you know? And he's not as consistent as he used to be, maybe, but he still has it, you know?
You remember when, because he's been like sixth man of the year like three times, right?
Yeah, yep.
And I just remember, I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago, he was doing a sideline interview, and DeAndre Jordan comes up and just starts saying like, sixth man of the year. It was just like singing in the interview.
Yeah, yes.
Like he's still a nasty option off the bench. Someone that like, I feel like anybody has to watch out for.
Yeah. It's going to come up big in the playoffs too. I mean, he can win you a game just based on, you know, he can get hot and score, you know, 15 points in a matter of, you know, 10 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, so that was, I mean, like stat wise, Isaiah put up his like second straight 30 point game. Marcus had a good outing, 21 points. And then, you know, everyone else had solid contributions, but it just, you know, everything going on for the Clippers just ruined us. You know, their big three was scoring. They had Blake Griffin went 28-8, CP3 23-5, DeAndre 15-12, and then Jamal with 19 off the bench. It's like there was just a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
And just we just couldn't keep up, I guess, in the second half. Because like we were killing it up until probably like 4 minutes left in the third, and then it just suddenly went.
Yep.
Completely off the rails.
Yeah, it was Crawford that got it started, and then like they just rode all that momentum. I mean, it was, you know, you're at home, that's what happens sometimes.
Yeah. Paul Pierce didn't play, which was sad.
Yeah, they showed it the tribute. They showed it Paul Pierce tribute in LA, which was full of Celtics highlights because he's never really done anything for the Clippers.
Yeah,
I mean, he really has never been good on that team.
Yeah,
he's been there for 2 years, but I don't remember him doing anything of note.
The only highlight that I can think of that's been in his career outside of the Celtics was like that game winner when he Wizards, right?
But he played pretty good for those two teams. Granted, maybe, you know, especially particularly in Brooklyn, he wasn't what they thought they were going to get. You know, that him and Garnett both weren't quite what they thought they were going to get.
Yeah.
They were still, but he was still efficient. I mean, I think he was still shooting close to 40% from three, but he wasn't playing as many minutes. Then he goes to Washington, and he was actually really good for that team.
Yeah.
You know, they had the veteran guy there. Along, you know, Beal and Wall, and I mean, he played well for that team. He hit a couple of game winners in the playoffs and stuff.
That one where he banked it in. They asked him, "Did you call back?"
I called game. Yeah, right.
That's so great.
But he had no highlights, and they showed that clip too in the tribute. I called game, you know. And then they had nothing. They showed a couple of jump shots, you know, from the Clippers, you know, like that, because that's all they had for highlights from him, you know.
Yeah.
Because he never really played, you know. I even thought he was kind of amused by it, you know?
But. Yeah, I'm sure that the Clippers fans weren't, like, too happy about that. I think they recognize that he's, like, you know, a legend in Boston, but... Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of Celtics fans in the crowd that night, too, so he got a pretty good standing O for that, anyways. Yeah.
So we move on to our lone win of the week against the Warriors. And like I said earlier, I don't think anybody thought that was going to be our win. Like I think a lot of people saw 2-2, maybe 3-1. I predicted 3-1, but I didn't think we were going to win against the Warriors. Turns out 1-3 with the one against the Warriors. It was a great game. And it was relatively even near the end of the third quarter. We were getting killed through like the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of like resigned. I was just like, well, you know, we're just going to be 0-3 so far. I didn't turn it off, but I was just kind of like drained, you know? And then come out of nowhere, just start surge a comeback. And then the fourth quarter, we completely locked them down.
Yeah. I mean, it was like that, the way that we played defense in that fourth quarter, they looked like last year's Celtics that mm-hmm. was like prided on its defense.
Yep.
And, you know, so, and, you know, part of that is maybe because we had the full, you know, we had the full lineup in there. We had Avery, we had Al. So, I mean, obviously that goes a long way. But even still, like, they've rarely looked like that team this year, and they did in that fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, people say this was Kelly Olynyk's best game. I agree. But they're like, this is the first time we've seen him play defense. But I think against the Cavs, I think it was a week and a half ago now.
Mm-hmm.
He was stopping Kyrie and LeBron.
Yeah.
No, I mean, not like as prolifically, because I think he pulled down like five steals, right?
In what? In the
in this game against the or what?
Yeah, he had four or five anyways. Yeah.
Yeah. So he had like he metrically had a good game on mm-hmm. defense, but you know he was doing really well against the Cavs too. I think he comes through suddenly out of nowhere, like the oaf Canadian dude.
Yeah,
coming through, and he's actually making big plays on the defensive end that a lot of us aren't really recognizing. So, like, mini shout out to Kelly.
Yeah, but again, when he plays like that, he plays so well, and then he can be so infuriating. I mean, we'll get to the Denver game in a second, but he was a non-factor in that Denver game. And you thought, like, after seeing that, you'd be like, oh, wow. Because if he can play like that off the bench, you know, 15 points, play some good defense, he's a good passer for a big guy, he stretches the floor, and then he's not there at all. It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, let's talk about that. That Denver game. as little as we can. If,
yeah, it was bad.
I guess we got wrecked, right? Lost by 20 to, I mean, I guess they're the 8 seed in the West, mm-hmm. so it's not that embarrassing, but they're under 500. You know, you can name like three guys on that team and then you kind of start to like have to look it up. They're not a good team.
No.
Right? So Jokic is there. He just murdered us.
Yeah, they might not be a good team now, but they've got some good pieces. They probably will be. So,
oh, yeah.
Jokic, Jamal Murray.
Yeah, Gallinari, if he stays around.
They're right.
They've got a lot of options
right.
in the future for sure. But yeah, we got murdered on the boards. They were just trying to fuel up the fans. I don't know how many fans go to Denver games, but like they showed Tom Brady on the Jumbotron to try to piss off the fans or something. I don't know what that was
every
about.
Time we were at the free throw line, they would put Tom Brady up on the to get the crowd to boo. I mean,
yeah, I don't like
that's how, if that's what you have to do to get your crowd going, I mean, whatever works for you, I guess.
Yeah. It shows kind of where the Nuggets stand as far as Denver sports hierarchy, right?
Right. Yeah, no kidding. They have to feed off of the Broncos rivalries.
Yeah, seriously. So, yeah, that was I just don't know how to talk about that game because there's just nothing really good to talk about. IT, I guess he continued his 20-point streak. He's rebuilding from losing that. I think he's at like 4 straight now.
Yeah.
If we feel like counting again.
Yeah, right. I'd rather not.
I feel like that's the only bright spot of this game was like that IT scored 20 points. Otherwise, there was just nothing redeeming about it.
Yeah, no, not a good game.
Maybe, I guess, the end of the West Coast road trip.
Yeah, that's right. And then we'll be at home today for Chicago.
Yes. So let's look at that upcoming week. We've got a relatively easy week in terms of like just number of games. Chicago on Sunday, the Timberwolves, and then the Nets.
Mm-hmm.
Quick predictions. What do you think record-wise?
Well, so we have – I mean, I think – 2-1, anything less than 2-1 is a failure. But I think it's certainly possible for them to sweep the three games. But for some reason, I feel like we've played Chicago 10 times this year, and I feel like we've lost 9 of them. You know, even though we've only played them, this is our fourth and final game against them, right?
Yes.
Or have we played them only twice? I know. We played them. No, this is the fourth game because we played them twice, like the first week of the season.
Yeah,
we lost the first game. We won the second game, and then
we lost that last one on the call.
And we lost that. Right. Yeah. And the last one was that. Right. That was that game was on TNT, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hopefully today's isn't.
ABC.
Yeah. Good. But for whatever reason, they always seem like a tough matchup for us.
Yeah, I mean that past game was stupid. I mean, Marcus Smart got called for the foul on what mm-hmm. looked like a phenomenal defensive play. mm-hmm. And then Butler gets to basically win it at the free throw line.
Yeah.
With like 0.4 of a second left or something. So yeah, that was a frustrating loss. And they just fell out of the playoff race for the time being. They just fell out of the 8 seed,
mm-hmm.
the Bulls. Granted, Milwaukee's been playing really great basketball.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Bulls are like 5-5 in their last 10. I think they've lost 4 straight.
Mm-hmm.
So they've just been they've been struggling to put it together lately. But everyone's healthy. You know, I mean, it's probably going to be the toughest game of the week. But.
Well, I think the T-Wolves are a tougher game only because they match up with us. They have big guys, and I think teams that have good big guys are like kryptonite to us.
Yeah.
Because we don't really have, you know, great big, well, I mean, Horford's fine. He can, but when they have more than one, you know, I don't know. I feel like that Timberwolves team's pretty big.
Have we seen the Timberwolves yet this year?
So no, we play them. We play them because we play them twice. So if we're playing them at home this week, then we play them. I believe we played them already.
Yeah, we won by 6 back in November.
Okay, yeah.
And Carl Anthony Towns had 18 rebounds.
Yes, that's see, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So that's, I guess, a little bit of reason to concern or be worried, I guess.
And I'm pretty sure that they've been playing well lately too.
Yeah, they beat the Warriors.
That's right. Yeah, but that I mean,
like their third straight loss or something.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, who doesn't beat the Warriors? I mean, we beat them.
Yeah, so they've been playing hot, I guess, the Timberwolves.
See if they're even close to the playoff mix. They're 3.5 games.
They're hovering around. The eight seed is like really far down in the West.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically like everyone upward of the Thunder is in, and then there's like this like weird fight for the eight seed of like mediocre teams.
Yep. Yeah, the Grizzlies are the 7th seed comfortably, 5 games up on the next team, which is the Nuggets. And then it's, Nuggets, Blazers are 2 games back. Maybe your Blazers are going to sneak in.
Yeah, maybe. I don't even know what's going on with them.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest because they've got such a good team. But
I know they should be a lot better.
Are you sure that the hardest game isn't going to be against the Nets?
I'm pretty sure of that, yes.
It's our one road game.
That may be the when we start, resting players.
Barclays is always a hostile environment.
Yeah, the Barclays, yeah.
Actually, I could see that. I could see them like selling that out just so that they can just hate on like Danny Ainge and the Celtics. Like, I could see us being their biggest rivals just because we screwed them so much, you know?
Yep.
But the Nets are playing their best stretch of the year.
2-8.
2-8.
2-8 in their last 10.
Yeah.
Is that 80% of their wins on the year or something?
Yeah, I was reading, I think it was Bleacher Report's like power rankings, and they moved them up to 29 because they won once in each of the past 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a winning streak for the Nets. That's like really impressive for them. That's totally true. It's been on the shoulders of Jeremy Lin.
Yeah.
He's back in. I hope that we go 3-0 for sure.
I think we should go 3-0, but I mean, at the very least, 2-1.
Do you think any of the momentum from this past road trip is going to swing over? Like the negative stuff? Do you think that's going to swing over to this week?
No, I think, as bad as that game was at Denver, I think, coming home, they're going to be refreshed and recharged, we'll see, obviously, but, today's game will be very telling.
Yeah, so Sunday, and then we've got a couple days off to really rest. There's no travel. We see the Wolves on Wednesday in Boston. Mm-hmm. So 2 straight home games. And then we make a short trip to Brooklyn on Friday, I think. So it's a relatively chill week. So the Celtics should be able to kind of calm down, regroup, relax a little bit, catch up from the West Coast road trip.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, hopefully 3-0. This Bulls matchup will be interesting. It's also going to interfere with Selection Sunday, which is going to be rough for me because I'm going to be switching channels to go back to that.
Yeah, yep.
No, hopefully it's not close. Hopefully, like we're winning by like 40.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
Just kind of switch off and feel comfortable.
Because what the game is on at 3 today, right? And
3:30. Yeah.
What time does Selection start?
5:30.
So it might be over by then.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be.
Well, it'll be close. Yeah.
But yeah. All right. Anything you want to hit on?
No, man, I think we got it all. All
right, cool. So are you working on anything cool this week?
Not yet, but that's, we'll figure that out this afternoon.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely take a look. I think I might write something about what's going on with Isaiah, whether it's a good thing that he's kind of adopting this role as a leader. The criticism that came this past week, whether it was frustration, stuff like that, I'm going to see if I can kind of piece some stuff with that together.
Nice.
But yeah, definitely come to the website, CelticsLife.com. Check out the stuff on the top, all the little links out there. We can check out the merch that we've got, shirts, hoodies, stuff like that. You can even get tickets to the next game under that heading. In terms of the podcast, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, SoundCloud, MixCloud, and make sure you subscribe to whichever one of those you like so that you never miss any of the episodes. And we appreciate any feedback you have for us. We would love if you'd give us 5 stars. If you don't like something, let us know. Rather than give us that measly 1-star rating, we'd love to hear from you. You can tweet at us, you can email us. I don't know, however you feel like getting in touch with us. We use the hashtag Celtic Life Podcast. So if you want to tweet at us with that, we'll be keeping up with that. If you have a suggestion, because we're always just trying to bring you guys the Celtics coverage that you want, the way that you like it. We tried a new format today. If you like it, let us know. And that's all I got. Anything you want to hit on, Mark?
No, man. Good stuff. Good stuff.
All right. Have a great week, everybody. Go Seas. And hopefully we're 3-0 at the end of the week.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big.